I'm just going to tell you, when told Red Sox Blue Jays from Fenway is an Apple TV game tonight, Bulldog pumped his fist like he's
I made noises. Back. There was a little. I got to step back. I think I did this for people watching on the stream. Like I did the. I did my legs.
It's practically too. The Macarena.
I did. Yeah. All right. It was awkward but genuine. It was honest. It was an honest reaction.
Yankees Phillies also on Apple tonight, separately. I mean, one's at 6:30, the other's at 7. But the world is so fancy now, they can just do that.
All right.
Even though they're both right there.
That, I cannot wait. Part of that was, you could have told me they're on and some other stream, and I'd be like, oh, well, good. But you wouldn't have gotten the dance. The picture on Apple is just so good. It's so good.
Too bad you're not there. You could try this new red velvet cream cheese cake in a can that they have.
Can we just stop?
You see this from Lucy Bird.
Can we just
retweeting
stop?
Fenway? Red velvet cream cheese cake in a can.
Ah, nothing like that on a nice 90 degree humid summer day.
You drink that?
Let me get some cake.
No, you got to have a plastic fork.
In
you
a
don't
can.
Drink that.
I don't know.
They have a lot of things at Glen Oak, but not this. Maybe Brian will get to Tim Freeze and suggest some cake in a can out there.
What is going on at ballpark? Cake in a can? We get sushi push pops in Chicago.
Yeah,
like that just sounds like sushi, that sounds like a bacteria fest to me. That just sounds horrible.
Brian Koziol with us on the West Her Hotline. A popular event in the golf season every year locally is this Duster Challenge, where you can putt and win and raise money. And Brian, I believe you're out at the golf course now. Are we underway?
We are. We just opened up the putting green, so people are out practicing. We're starting officially with the tournament play, we'll call it, at 6 o'clock. We're super pumped. We got 108 golfers. We've sold it out now for the fourth year in a row. And we're raising money for PGA Hope, which is giving veterans golf experience to kind of help them transition back to normal life after serving our country. So even things like giving them necessary equipment or carts or special things to enable them if they have any sort of physical disabilities that might have happened during the time of serving our country. So we're happy to do that. We raised over $7,000 last year. We're looking to hopefully increase that this year. I know Bulldog and Owen did it last year. Owen's actually here right now putting. He, I was just checking FanDuel a few minutes ago. Owen is actually right now moved into the top 10 for the putting favorites here out of the 108. So expecting big things from him tonight.
All right. He should have – he played there, I think, twice recently. Both times weren't with me. But he should have a good feel for the greens there. So I know it's the practice green, but still, whatever. So I like his – although last year we both played in this after playing a round of golf there. And that he made it to the – did he make it far? He did pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
I crapped out. I was terrible.
Yeah, we take 108, and then we take the – after everybody putts, we take the best 16 scores, and then we do a little mini match plays, like 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, and so on. And I think Owen, he definitely made the top 16. He might have even advanced even to the top 8, I think, before he eventually got knocked out. But, yeah, he had a good performance last year.
The kid's a decent putter. I got to give him that.
Yeah.
I have just thought of something I've never thought of really before. When Bulldog was talking and Brian, and he's good on the greens, and then, this is just the practice green. What level of responsibility does a golf course have to basically have its practice green be speed-wise, maybe whatever else there is, like the real greens, if you will, on the golf course? Like, is it sort of like a given that would be the case? Or, I mean, do some places treat putting greens differently? Just like the practice green gets short shrift or something and we don't really care? I mean, I don't think Glen Oak would be like that. What do you know about Brian?
Yeah, I don't want to speak for course superintendents, but I would think that the course superintendents are trying to essentially replicate what you're going to get out of the golf course, because part of the warm-up is that you're learning the conditions and the speed. So I think that's probably something that I would guess if you asked any course superintendent, you'd like your putting green to act similarly to what you're going to get out on the real golf course. So I think that's probably – now, for this contest, Matt Bush is the superintendent here. He actually cut it a few extra times For those that are familiar with the stint meter number, he actually just did it at 14, which is kind of what fast. We see at Augusta. Yeah. He just cut it and cut it and cut it. He said, let's make it fast and let's have some fun with it. So it's right now it's faster than what you'd see out on the course. But I think you're right. I mean, you'd like to to have the putting green act like you're going to expect when you get out onto the course.
Yeah, I think even at Delaware Park, the practice green is similar enough. I mean, a lot of my rounds there are very early in the morning, and it's often wet in the morning, and then by the time you get to the 13th hole, you know, stuff's been baking in the sun all day, and it's a very different thing, but that's not the golf course's fault. So, yeah, I would think most courses certainly effort to make it that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. And obviously, you know, there's the range and there's the chipping area too here. Glen Oak's got a huge practice facility. So I think it also probably determines on staffing and, you know, how much maybe area square footage you have on your putting green and all that sort of stuff. But I got to think that's probably, Mike, I know you used the word responsibility. I think that's probably a good word to use. Like, you'd want them to try to get it as close as it can to whatever course conditions actually are out on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. And stimp meter, by the way, Brian, you dropped this on us last week too, talking during the Open Championship. The higher, the faster. And 14's pretty fast. You said like Augusta. So I can't exactly picture it, but I think what I've got here is a device where you set it on the green and roll a ball down it, and how far it goes tells you the speed?
Yep. We actually just did that about an hour ago. So it looks like, I want to say, like a yardstick, and there's a little slot that you kind of leave the ball in, and then you just let it go, and the ball rolls out. And you do it three times, and then you kind of take the average of the three and say, okay, how far did it go? And then you go the other direction, and then you average those two, and that's where that number comes from.
All right. Stimp meter. Listen to what you're learning out there today.
I just learned something. I've never loved golf more. I might have loved golf more the last 2 years than I do this year. I'm just having a rocky year. But nonetheless, I never knew how they did that, like what it was. So, yeah.
It's really just kind of old school, just a little device. It looks like a yardstick with a little channel that the ball just rolls down, and then you just see how far it rolls out. And you just do it one direction, then you come back the other. You want to do it on as flat of a spot as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go one direction, the other direction, and then average the two and see how far they went. And that's where that number comes from. Like I said, last week, like the Open Championship, those Lynx ones usually are like between 10 and 11. I would say average PGA Tour event, maybe 12 and a half, and then, you know, like, again, the fastest they might ever play is like 14, kind of thing like that.
Yeah, it was named for someone, the inventor, whose name was Stimson back in the 30s.
All right. I'm going to take that as you really Googled that and didn't make that up.
Correct.
Okay. The good news for the people competing in this event at Glen Oak tonight, the Duster Challenge, Brian, is that Michael Kim obviously will not be there because he's just fresh off of 59 this morning in Minnesota. 21 putts on 18 holes. I mean, my God, that is some work.
Insane. Yes. We were chatting about that 59. It was, for those that didn't see it, it was a long putt, and he gave it speed. He's like, I was not going to be short. It's funny, like, normally you'd think golfer would be pretty, you know, restrained in terms of worrying about his score. He literally said afterwards, he's like, I kind of didn't worry about what was going to happen after the hole. Like, he was thinking, like, if I three putt, oh, well, I got a chance to make history here. I'm going to try to break 60 and get my name kind of on that magical number. And it went in. It was
cool.
It went in with a lot of speed. But, yeah, kudos to him. And you know what? It's most of the time that you see the 59, it's on par 70s. This is a par 71. So even more, a little maybe more impressive than what most of those 59s have come on par 70s.
I wish the broadcasts last weekend would have paid homage to that a little bit more often, because there were the 362s and lowest round in major championship history. I mean, you know, there are yards and there are yards per game. And if it's a par 70 like last week, naturally, mm-hmm. you have a better chance. Just like how they don't sometimes refer to stuff like that when there are more teams in the playoffs or just more Ryder Cup. Oh, we've had more extra time games than ever. You added 50% more teams.
Right.
Let's try to be honest about this.
Right.
Well, I know it's not the Open anymore because I'm watching this thing today and Scheffler is making everything. So whatever his problem was,
he's a little sketchy from in close, but his putting has been better.
Yeah, every time I look up, he's making a putt. So that's that. Great, thanks. Cool, good for you.
Yeah, I appreciate Scotty waiting a week to get his putting mojo back. Bulldog, that gave us a little extra in our wallet. Thank you very
for
much.
For sure, man. He didn't lose by much. Like we would have been $50 lighter for sure.
He went to the 72nd hole down one.
Right.
Despite missing 20 makeable putts in 4 days. Is that too many? I mean, it just
looked... You might even be underestimating, Mike. I mean, you and I talked Thursday and Friday, and I felt like every time you asked me about Scheffler, I was like, well, how many makeable birdies did he have today that he missed? And, you know, we're sitting here probably saying a half dozen or more each day. Yeah. I mean, he definitely, if he just putted even slightly even below average, he's probably winning back-to-back opens.
Runaway winner. All right, Brian. Well, congrats to you on this. It's too late to get involved, right? I mean, you're underway
you
out
said
there.
It's sold out, right?
Sold out.
Yeah. In terms of participation, it's over. However, if people want to come, if they have nothing to do, literally, we're going to be going for about 3 hours. We got lights. We got music. We've got about 25 golf courses that donated foursomes. So if people just want to come and hang out, and we've got drinks and food, and they can buy into the raffles or the 50-50.
We
got chairs all around the green. So if, literally, if you're around Glen Oak tonight and you got nothing going on, you can come watch. We'll have the lights going on for the match play portion later on tonight. So, we'd love to have anybody come out. By the way, if anybody does want to donate, I should answer your question, Mike. Duster with a D, DusterChallenge.com. You can go, and you can just make a donation, $5, $10, anything. We would love to have you if you want to help support PGA Hope.
Cool. Where's Tee to Green tomorrow?
We are at Lancaster Country Club tomorrow morning, 7 to 8.
Thanks, Brian. Enjoy the night.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you letting me come on.
You're welcome. Night. Said he has chairs, not share. It might have sounded like he said we have share lined up, but no. No confirmed report that share is at this.
Mm. Got it.
She's still, sharing out there.
Sure, yeah.
Cher is still sharing.
Yeah.
Right? Ever see her?
I saw a picture of her just this week.
Not a picture. Have you ever been to see Cher? Have you ever been to a show?
Yeah, in fact, I was on the battleship when she shot that video.
Hmm. Oh, that's the only time?
Yeah.
You wouldn't go to another show after being at that?
I was one of the guys in the Navy uniforms.
I don't know this reference, but I know it's a joke. I mean, there was a video?
There's a famous one of her, like late resurgence, you know, Cher videos.
The second act?
Yeah.
Third act?
I think this would be second act.
She had, I believe the stat is, number ones in 4 decades. That's why they can't get her at the Duster Challenge.
Yeah,
it's too big.
Right. Yep.
60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
I don't remember if I could turn back time, it might be that video.
Yeah, that would be one of those
songs.
That
I'm thinking of from that's on some sort of Navy.
Gypsies, vessel. Tramps, and Thieves. If I could turn back time. I found someone. So, I mean,
the theme from,
I got you, babe.
The theme from Moonlighting.
That's not Cher.
Well, she's in the movie.
Moonlighting?
No, not
Moonstruck.
Moonstruck. Thank you. Thank you. Moonlighting with Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis.
Yes, it was. And that's a great theme song. But it's not Cher.
Yeah, right.
You know who it is? Al Jarreau.
Wow. I think that's right.
I think it's right.
It's a good job. Al Jarreau.
Sometimes you just can't, you don't have time to look it up.
Who saw Al Jarreau coming in today?
Al Jarreau. Welcome everyone to the show for the first time ever, probably. I mean, has anybody ever not been mentioned by us? Today we had Threesus mentioned. Okay, happy Friday. We'll be right back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.